Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always pleased to be able to broadcast with you. We're coming to you live and in living color, and what we're going to do is take a quick break, and very shortly we will come right back. We are having a few technical difficulties, but we're sure we'll be able to take care of that very shortly. We'll be right back. And we're black. It seems we're still having some technical difficulties. We had the other evening as well, and for whatever reason, we are still having a few difficulties. We're going to try to work this out again, but unfortunately, we're still not able to access the board, so nothing is coming up right now in terms of our call. We cannot see any of our calls, so hopefully we will be able to do that very, very shortly. But in the meantime, we want you to stay right there, and we are going to be right back.
Thank you.
could come with me this my lover, he could get you. When God sleeps, rats go by him tail. With me, they find. Palava, he could get you. Palava, Janet lost him job. Him sit down for house. Him they think of job. Shall I not come with a mop? Tell me, stop, baby, your end. Wait till you they find.
He did find.
My lover, he will get you. My lover, he will get you. My friend just come from prison. Him they look for work. Waka waka day and night. Policeman comes to pump for road. He tell me so I charge you for wandering. With me they find.
Okay, good, thanks. And welcome back to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. We are back, and my name is Simpress Chi. We were able to work out our technical difficulties, and, of course, we are bringing you a live broadcast tonight. We attempted to do so okay, we're back again. We kind of worked out that little glitch, too. But at any rate, again, we welcome you to this segment of New Day Resurrection. And we're going to kind of give you an overview of what we're going to talk about tonight. Before we do, of course, we give thanks and praises to our Creator. And certainly we are very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Tonight's program, as we indicated, is a special edition, and we're going to focus on what we call the violations of our women and girls, but also particularly we're going to focus on our elders. That is another component of the national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of our women and girls, and, well, elder violence or violations, as we call it, is also a very, it's a concern. It's not only a concern, but it's something that, too, is definitely growing, and we need to examine it closer and really take more action in fighting it in our communities nationwide. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and we're going to also focus on some other things that's going on not only in our communities nationwide, but also worldwide. And with that said, we're going to talk about how to look and deal with some of that, including the Black Consciousness Movement. Yes, there's a new Black Consciousness Movement on the rise, and we're going to tell you about that as we continue our tribute to Stephen Biko. Very shortly, we're going to go to our live line, and again, talking about the issue of violence as it pertains to our elders, the type of violence that is geared specifically to them, that being with gentrification, that being with other types of loan sharking and things of that nature. Well, going on. And we're going to talk to our sister Cynthia Johnson, who can tell you about this from a real upfront and close experience with her own mother, who, at of course, we know the banks and other entities have really done a job on our communities, and so that has had a major effect on many of our elders who, as with other aspects of our community, facing foreclosures and other kinds of problems. But again, we're going to tell you more about that, and also we're going to give you some information about some of the activities and events and programs that you're going to see coming your way as now part of the Million Woman Movement. So as we move forward, we are going to now go to our live line, and we're going to bring in a sister as we see it. And, wow, here we go again with some technical difficulties. You have to bear with it. It seems also that the network is indicating that they realize that there are some technical difficulties going on. And with that said, are also trying to resolve some of these problems. But, wow, this just seems to be an ongoing kinds of thing. So, again, we ask that you bear with us because we are, in fact, trying to straighten it out. It just so happened as we were getting ready to go to open up our boards and open up our line with Cynthia Johnson, who is the sister who is going to talk with us about her experience and the work that her group is doing as it pertains to this issue relevant to what's going on with some of our elders. Again, looks like we finally got that cleared, and hopefully we can now open up this line. We're still having some difficulties. Wow, this is so interesting. Okay, let's try one more time. Let's see. Okay, I think we do have it open now. Okay, Sister Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, I am, Sister.
Okay, very good. Wow, we are really having some problems. Okay. All right, so welcome to this segment of New Day, and please tell our family a little bit about you.
Well, my name is Cynthia, and I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I tell you, there's been a lot going on in my life, but the thing that is really, really troubling me is something that has happened to my mom, all right? And needless to say, there have been thousands upon thousands of other elders that have been targeted by these big banks. Now, my mother right now is with JPMorgan Chase, who has officially foreclosed on her property and is waiting for eviction. I have not gotten that last letter for the eviction, but this all started out. Her initial lender was Homeside Lending. In turn, the next thing we found out was that it went to another lender, Washington Mutual, and we know they are now defunct, who, in the process of transferring it, lost some payment. So we rectified it, or we reconciled it with Washington Mutual, who ignored whatever documents we sent in and put my mother straight in default and straight into the foreclosure process. From there, it's been a fight. We've been fighting this battle for 10 years, and she's still in the home. They want you to vacate freely because the second you leave the house, the deed is no longer in your name. It then goes into theirs, whether they're right or wrong. But I've been doing some research on this over the last...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sister.
I've been doing some research on this over the last couple of days, and when I'm looking it up online, someone posted, well, let me backtrack a second, okay? There is a petition online right now that has over 6,100 signatures on it because of the fraud that was committed against my mother. Started with the Home Defenders League and the occupiers, Occupy Our Homes, specifically in Atlanta. Other organizations have picked up on it too, and they are signing left and right, because JPMorgan Chase is wrong. So what we're dealing with, and what I've been saying from the beginning, is number one, elder abuse. Number two, they've been attacking minority women over the age of 60. All right, so we've got the ethnic and gender violations right off the bat, okay? The person who originated her loan went to jail. His name is John Filarenko, was the president of Eastwood Mortgage Bankers. He actually went to jail for 10 months and was fined $5 million in restitution. Now, the way I found all of that out was I went online, I looked up his name, and found that HUD was the one that prosecuted him for recruiting straw buyers, and apparently my mother was one of them. 229 people They only prosecuted him for a few of them because this man should have been in jail longer than he was, and did not tell everybody else that they were going to lose their home. So a lot, as a result of that, have lost their homes because a lot of the elderly do not have people to fight for them. They don't. My mother has me, who only knows how to fight after being assaulted and working through the systems myself. All I know how to do is fight. Fight, fight, fight. All right? So I try to keep my mother secure. I try to keep her safe, and I try to keep them off her back. So right now everybody's joining in, and it's a collaboration to try to straighten this out. But, you know, what I did find out on the Internet was that every bank that was ever listed on her paperwork had been either acquired by J.P. Morgan Chase or merged with J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, J.P. Morgan Chase is attributed to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, all right, who own Wall Street, all right? What I found out is that these people had been around since the Federal Reserve was first instituted, I think it was in 1913, so they own that. And what they're doing as far as investments are, they are buying the opposite of the way that they're telling investors to do. You know, you buy the stocks when the stocks are low and you sell them when they're high. No, they buy them when they're high and sell them when they're low, and then they still make $1 million off of it, however it is. I'm not really sure about their thought process in it, but nevertheless, they are worldwide, and they own property everywhere. Now, I'm going to give you a little hint as to a couple of other Wall Street names, the Schiff and the Warburgs, which started in, I guess we call it Little Germany. But nevertheless, if you remember the cartoon character Little Orphan Annie, and there was a character in there called Daddy Warbucks,
right.
They are referring to the Warburg, the Mr. Warburg, Mr. Moneybags, all right? So they own a good percentage of the world. We're talking about less than 1%, all right? We always say the 1% and the 99%. These people are less than 1% that control the Federal Reserve, all right, and they control the United States government. They get done what they want done. So my mother is just one in a group, all right? But the things that have happened to her are so egregious that you can't even get past it. Her case is not like any other that has come to light. She was hit with robo-signing, all right? Then we're dealing with the Stoller Rankel who pulled her in with, you know, with fraud from the intent, all right? So they meant to get her property, which is sitting on two lots. Her little $65,000 loan, her property now is worth probably about $250,000. So they want to get their hands on that quick. All right? So,
wow.
Yeah, we have launched a major campaign, a national campaign against them. Now, we know just recently, or if anybody doesn't know, just recently that the J.P. Morgan Chase had to pay some kind of fine. And from what I understand, parts of it went to investors, parts of it went to the bank, and then they said, okay, well, some was to help the distressed homeowners. And, well, they're not even calling them distressed. They're calling them homeowners. But that never happened, all right? It just went to the banks. He just sucked it all back up into his madness. So this last time when we went to court, or the lawyer went to court, what happened was, the judge said, we're going to ignore everything that happened over the last 10 years because it's moot now, because it's out of the statute of limitations, all right? And we're going to go straight to eviction. He allowed J.P. Morgan Chase just to change the name legally on the paperwork, I guess just to get on with the business and get her out of her house. I say no to that. I say Susan Johnson stays. So this is the fight. And, you know, what I'm asking for, or for any listeners that are hearing, is to go online and to sign this petition, all right? Because the more we have, the better. We need to take Jamie Dimon, I call him Dimon, like with the big horns on, when his name is Diamond, but it's Dimon, and need to take him on firsthand so that it hits the press, you know, so that there's publicity around it to show exactly what he's done. My biggest issue with this that's causing the anger, and I know I'm sounding rough right now, is because of the condition of my mother. I have watched my mother deteriorate over the years as I'm going through this. I physically had to tell her, Mommy, step back and let me take care of it, okay? Let me fight the fight. Let me be the buffer, and let me take whatever beating that needs to be taken, and let me go for it. So that's the only way I got her to back up a little bit, but she's still stressed and she worries about it, doesn't want to answer the front door or the phones because she thinks that on the phone, bill collectors, and at the door, the sheriffs are coming. So my mother is in that position and has been in that position for a few years. I'm just trying to try my best to try to help her the best that I can. In addition to dealing with my own issues. At one point, I was a little disconnected. I don't know if anybody remembers. I was the one that came on there on the show that had been raped and beaten by a North police officer. While I was going through the craziness in and out of the courtrooms where they were trying to villainize me, I kind of stepped away because I was in no condition to fight any other battle but this one. So my mother was fighting it on her own. Then my dad died. So she was really just out of the loop and thinking that it was all over. So for all the distressed homeowners out there, number one, you need to trace your paperwork. You need to see who had your loan first, how many hands it went through, how many banks are affiliated with the next bank, all right, including Bank of America. Right now we only have a few major banks. All right, because they're all merging and buying each other up till they turn into a monopoly. Trace your loans. Trace everything. Find out whoever touched it, where it is. You need to know where your note and the deed is because they are supposed to be in the same place. And if they are not in the same place, the person who is coming after you to evict you or to foreclose on you has no right to do so. Whew.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Listen, we can hear it in your voice, my sister, and you know, this is information that is very much needed because there are a lot of our people that are going through what these banks and lenders and other things, other entities have done. And so this group that you are involved in, again, tell us a little more about that and how we can get in touch with you and just, you know, keep making certain that we can develop and grow. Tell us more about the group and, again, how they can get in touch with you.
All right. The parent group is the People's Organization for Progress. A spinoff of that is called the Coalition to Save Our Homes that meets every Monday evening at the Irvington Public Library at 7 o'clock. All right? There are the distressed homeowners come, and we try to work it out and see what we're going to do to get it together, how we can all band together and protest in front of these banks. We need to give them some heat so that they know that we are not playing, all right, for the amount of people who are homeless right now because the banks have stolen their homes, and they are rich enough to go and buy an island to get away from us, but they want to buy these properties in the urban areas, all right? So the Coalition to Save Our Homes is, they're on Facebook, O-H. It's the letter C, the letter S, no, I'm sorry, letter C, the number 2, letter S, letter O, letter H, Coalition to Save Our Home. David Hungerford is the chairman of the organization. I'm also involved with Communities United, which is in North New Jersey. They are a part of the Home Defenders League, and just last week I went to a training where the occupiers from Atlanta came up to New Jersey and held a 2-day training to explain to us how to defend our homes, all right? And because most people, when this is happening, the banks are making it seem like you're not paying your bill. You're paying your bill plus 50 other bills, all right? They get you in these situations, and they manipulate the paperwork, but they know that the final outcome is to steal your home.
Right.
Okay? So it's that as well, and I started a Facebook page, J.P. Morgan Chase, Don't Evict Grandma Susie. All right, she's my mother, but the original campaign was Don't Evict Grandma Susie.
Okay.
Yeah, it made the front page of another online petition site, care2.com. I've been blogging about it nonstop. I will give you my email address and my phone number. I don't mind doing that over the internet, over the phone. The email address that I use is savemyhome, the number 7@verizon.net. Again, I'll say it is savemyhome, the number 7@verizon.net. Telephone number is 862-621-9080. Again, it's 862-621-9080. Now, I also have a website called Recovering and Rebuilding, where I have been working with victims of violence, all right, all kinds of violence, and I follow you through from start to finish, the court date, whatever is necessary. And that was based on how I was treated after telling that I was raped by a police officer and how they tried to tear me down. Actually, they did tear me down because I told. So recoveringandrebuilding.com, that's there as well. Elder abuse is addressed in there. Rape victims, you name it, it's in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what we want to add to that, family, is that as the Maryland movement now builds on a national level, we are going to make certain that there are specific areas that are covered and covered well. That's a part of our mission now. And so as you hear some of the topics that we are now talking about, you're going to also hear about some of the action plan that is connected to some of these areas of concern, and that really, in many instances, have been lacking in terms of the type of responses to these things, the type of actions that we need to put against it, and fighting it. So you're going to be hearing more about that. Now, Sister Cynthia is one of our sisters that works in the Newark, New Jersey area. And we're going to have her to also join one of our new components, which is a part of our Black Women's Defense League and our human rights agenda, our Human Rights Commission. So you're going to be hearing more about that, but there are several groups now under the MWM umbrella because it has always been our focal point to build new societies, to make certain that we maintain our families and communities, but also to look forward to the development of a nation or the support of nations that are already in place. But these are some of the things you're going to hear us talk more about as we proceed in this so-called 2014, and we are definitely gearing up and getting ready for that. With that said, Sister Cynthia just mentioned again about another situation that occurred with her a few years ago, and that too is one of the areas that you're going to really see us work even more adamantly on, and that is the violations of our women and girls. And of course, we're talking about rape, trafficking. You know, trafficking is really on the rise, and we suspect it's going to become more so as this economy and this government begins to fall further, shall we say. And so we know we better be prepared for that. But at any rate, Sister Cynthia, give out your information once again.
All right. The email address is savemyhome, the number 7@verizon.net. Telephone number is 862-621-9080. Now, I'm also on Facebook, Cynthia Johnson. I've got a couple of pages up there as well. All right. I'm on MySpace. I'm on Twitter. All right. One day, my mother's Susie Johnson stage was trending. All right? So I am going in on this hard and heavy. So what I would like is for us all to work together, all right? And then eventually we all get together and we go at the Justice Department for not doing their job, all right? We're looking through the Constitution to try to see, you know, what rights do we have? And what it boils down to, and this is the way I feel this, all right, is that when that Constitution was written, it had nothing to do with people of color, nothing. All right? There are codicils and amendments. All of those things are not for us. So because of that, it gives you a really shaky feeling in reference to it, the way the police operate out here, the way everybody works out here, no Miranda rights, shooting on sight. All of these things are a problem. All right? Now, and included with this ethnic and gender violations, and I'm just going to hit on this real briefly, sis, okay? I was talking about the raping of the elderly as well as just rape in general. And we were talking about the rape kits and how they take the rape kits and sit them on the shelves, 10,000, thousands of them, all over the place, and especially in Detroit. There are 10,000 sitting on the shelves with dust all over them. How do they connect a rape with a perpetrator without the rape kit? So that's another thing too, all right? So we're looking at a large amount of elders that are being raped. So we're looking at all kinds of violations across the board. And I know we can't attack everything at one time, and I know I'm talking about a lot of things, but I'm telling you, when we look at them all, they had no value for people of African descent. And
that's
I refuse
right.
to be another one of these people that sit back and wait. The fight is on.
That's right.
The war is in place.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Detroit because, as it turns out, and we talked about this the other evening, Savior's Day, which, of course, is the annual gathering for the Nation of Islam, is going to be held for the next one coming up in February in Detroit. And we are looking to be a part of that again this year. I was invited by Mr. Farrakhan, I believe in 2010 it was, and I did a workshop during that time period, and we're looking at doing that again or another workshop this time. But we're also planning to hold a event or shall we say a activity in the community while we're there, as we now establish the Million Women Movement. So, Sister Cindy, I'm hoping that you'll be able to join us because we plan to meet with, you know, various activists and so forth that are in the Detroit area, again, to begin to formulate the types of coalitions and other types of things that we need to not only deal with the issues in, of course, Detroit, which is devastated, but to really look at some of the things that are really connecting all of us nationwide and the way now that we have to begin to apply some strategies. So you just hit on a very important reality in terms of what is going on there with the rape kits, and certainly that's happening in other states as well, and that's why we have to be well organized now to not only monitor but to document these things, and then of course to be prepared to take the kind of action that we need to take.
Well, I'm in. I'll be there. All right.
These
are the things that we need. We need all of us to meet up and to talk about it. This is, well, to talk and to formulate action.
Absolutely.
Right? Because a lot of times what a lot of organizations do is they talk about it. I'm not talking about
That's
us standing
right.
in the street and protest. Let's take it on. If we're going to get in there, let's get in there and get it right.
That's right. No doubt about it. Now, with that said, and you used the term people of color, and then, of course, you kind of recap and said people of African descent, which, of course, is our major concern. We focus specifically on our people. But with that said, I had a dialogue with one of my sisters earlier, and in our correspondence, I mentioned to her something about the terminology that we now often use in describing the Caucasian kinds of people. We call them now in some of our dialogue off-white, you know, just like you said, well, white people. Well, in this day and age, we're starting to rephrase some of these things, and in doing so, we have the terminology where we say off-white, because when usually something is off, it's not even what you say it is. It's still, it's dysfunctional. It's you know, not what you would call to be even in its context or in its proper or more of its formulation. So we now refer to certain people or certain operations or what have you as in being off-white, because it has gone so far, even worse than what we had perceived initially. So now we have our own kind of terminology and are developing our own ways of defining things and people and operations. So I just wanted to put that little sidebar in there, because as you and others begin to hear us talk more in the future, you might hear some of these words, and we want to make sure that you understand the context that we're using it in, because we, again, do plan to attack the situation in every way necessary, and that means even in terms of communication, even in terms of the verbalization of what we're talking about. But at any rate, Sister Cynthia, I want to thank you so much for sharing. If there's anyone that has a comment or a question for Sister Cynthia, please press 1 now, and we certainly will take your question or your comment. Also, if you have someone in your family or community or whatever that has been a victim, we're speaking of an elder right now that has been a victim of either these banks or some other company or what have you, then we would like you to report that to us. You can send that to nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Okay, we do have caller, you're at 1613. We're going to open up your mic right about now. And, of course, you have a question or a comment for Sister Cynthia. You are certainly welcome to do so now. Your mic is open.
Hold up. My eye holds up, sis. How are you?
How are you, my sister?
Excellent, excellent. I mean, like, I am honored to be on the phone with this sister. That's what I'm talking about, fighting. Fight back. We have to fight back. And, you know, I'm proud of you, sis. I am so proud of you. And keep on fighting, because that's what we need. We need warriors, because we at war. And that's the thing. We walk around here like we're not at war, but we are at war. So, I mean, we being attacked from all ways, all directions. But what I wanted to know, sis, was, Asante signed to you. You know, Mada, I say, for taking care of your mom like that, you know, because that's what we have to do. We have to take care of our families and love our families and take care of them, you know. We can't let our families be out here in the wilderness by themselves, you know, because it's hunters out there, you know, and we forget
that's
that
right.
We're lying, you know. But I wanted
that's
to
right.
know, I wanted to know, sister, where is your petition information, and can we access it on the website, or if we send you on Facebook, how can we access your petition information? I did try to look up the page, the C2SOH, and I didn't see the page. But
I'll tell you, you know how you can get direct access to it is if you're on Facebook. If you type in the search line, J.P. Morgan Chase,
okay.
Don't evict Grandma Susie, and there's a page there.
J.P. Morgan Chase, and Grandma who?
Susie, S-U-S-I-E.
Okay.
There it has the link to the petition, and it has some
mm-hmm.
updated information. I've even posted some videos. Last year, we had a major protest out there, and the news showed up, and the sheriff went away. All right? We had the streets blocked. We had it locked down, all right? They came together. I said no, all right? And I'm still holding that position, no.
That's right.
Susie Johnson stays.
Wow. Okay, that's what's up. That's what I'm talking about. We got to fight at all angles because they coming at us at all angles. I hate J.P. Morgan Chase. I know the story of a lot of these banks through my dealings with in Cobra, and they just snakes. I mean, they shed their skin like snakes. You know, they'll take your money one way, then they change the name and they find a new way to take your money, take your property. You know,
They're not changing the name. They're buying and merging with these banks. You know how we always talk about we talk about a 5-year plan. These people had this plan from the beginning. So they got their hands dipped in the Federal Reserve. They manipulate the market. They do all of that stuff. So they had a plan to take from us.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Uh-huh.
We still are, and I hate this word, the niggas that they hate and they want to get rid of.
Uh-huh. 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 Wow.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that we find hard to believe. We say things like, asking people to say things like, oh, well, you know, it's 2014. What does that mean? And anyway, it's not 2014, okay? Yeah, we need to be thinking in African time. I mean, we've been dealing with this for much longer than we even think of in terms of the society and how they define time. You know, we've been fighting. We have been at war from the very beginning, you know? Ever since we encountered them, you know, we should have never produced them. We should have never made them. I wish it was never
anything we do
is
a handout.
Hmm?
Huh? I'm sorry. They think that everything that we do or that we get is a handout. Pretty much that is what it is. It's something that they give us 2 steps forward and they take 20 forward.
Which means they're not giving us jack. They're not giving us anything. Everything we have worked hard for. You know, I come from my grandfather. He was cheated out of. He was displaced off his land in Albany, Georgia. My maternal grandfather, and you know, he came here. He came to where we are now in the north. And I mean, he literally died of heartbreak because he was so connected to his land. You know, he just died of heartbreak. There was nothing else for him to do as far as he was concerned. And this kind of thing, you know, is still going on. It's ridiculous. All of these banks, they crooks. They are crooks. And you're right, the Federal Reserve, the IRS, all them alphabets, they all work together, you know, they all work together to do what they can to attack us on a daily basis. And we sit there and take it, and we claim that we're citizens of this country. Your mother should not have to be dealing with that after all this time. It's ridiculous. She shouldn't have to deal with it at all.
78. On January 1, she turned 79.
I am furious
because they're attacking her still.
Wow.
I'm talking war. I'm at war stage. Since we need to learn how to defend ourselves.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we have to not be scared, you know.
That's right.
And a lot of us are scared. You know, we think that if we quiet and we don't say anything, that it'll go away. No, it's just not hitting you right now, but it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's going to hit you eventually. Because like that song Solomon Burke had, none of us are free. If one of us in chains in any kind of way, none of us are free. And I think
that's the disconnection
among African people is disturbing, and it's contributing to our, you know, being alone and not functioning as a collective like we need to. It's strengthening numbers.
That's right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. Well, as you both know, and those who are listening, one of our major missions right now is to make sure that our sisters not only have now somewhere to come to not just socialize or, you know, not just, you know, chew the fat or whatever you want to call it, but to really do some very, very distinct and powerful kinds of things, and that's what we're building. And we know, and I've had even brothers to say this, that once the sisters make moves and decide to do some things, oh, it's going down. So needless to say, that's
we're getting ready to do, because we must. This thing has gotten so critical now that we really, really have to, unfortunately, do some things that we may not have wanted to do as women, but hey, you know, as our sister just indicated, Sister Ajua, we're at war. And for those who don't understand that, believe me, you are going to understand it very, very soon, because they are really moving their agenda forward.
Mm-hmm. That ain't no time. Well, I just want to thank the sister for fighting and continue to fight, continue the good fight. I'm definitely going to locate that petition, and I will be signing it. I will pass it on to my organization as well, Afrocentricity International, Philly PA chapter. I will definitely pass it on to my network. And
thank you.
You know, we have to continue fighting. It's just like, you know, the things that's going on in Darfur right now. Darfur, African family is still being bombed on a daily basis. You know, our African family in Dominican Republic, in Central African Republic. It's just all
right.
These outbursts of, you know, of instability going on amongst African people around the world, and it's all based on greed. It's just like what they're doing here.
Yes.
It's just a different kind of resource. You know, it's a different kind of resource that they are putting in things in place to destabilize people, so that they can get in there and get what they want without having to kill, you know, not too many people. They're killing people, you know.
That's
but,
right.
You know, I guess if they remove the people, then they could go ahead and get the resources. And so that's what they're going, literally. Millions of Africans are displaced right there where they live at, just like what
they're
doing right here.
That's right.
Same thing. But you keep up the good fight. You keep up. You're a warrior, sis. You are a true warrior. I'm honored to speak with you. You are a warrior.
Empress.
Keep up the good fight. We got
to How long did it take me to get
to fight
there? How long did it take you to get there, Empress?
How long?
Well,
Let me just, how long it took me to get there.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, what can we say? We're all works in progress, you know.
That's
just the reality. We all have a long way to go. But the beautiful thing is we're getting there. That's the beautiful thing. We are getting there.
Right.
It doesn't matter what, you know. So
that's
it
right.
Doesn't matter. You know, in many regards, it doesn't matter how much time it takes, even though we now know that we really got to start moving this thing forward. But the point being that, you know, we are moving forward. We are getting to where we need to get to, and that's the real important thing. But I want to also share with our family that both of you are going to be a part of our MWM Speakers Bureau. So, again, family, please stay in us, because come, I guess maybe by February, we should have the speakers ready and going. And with that said, what's going to happen, you'll be able to have the speakers that you hear, or not the speakers, sisters that you hear tonight, and others, you'll be able to get access to them. And also, I want you all to know, too, that both sisters are, in fact, part of a few of our other operations. One, if you haven't heard, we will, in fact, be able to provide you with services, and some of those services for those who have nonprofits. The MWM is not one that strives or focuses on being a nonprofit or a 501. However, we certainly are prepared to provide services for you and the type of services that come from the frame of reference that we do represent. So with that said, we are doing ample research that really will give you information about some of the various grants and other monies that are out there that may be of interest to you. And you rest assured, we're going to scrutinize what we bring to you. It ain't just going to be some stuff for you, you know, people to just grab and whatever. We're going to kind of scrutinize what we present. But the point being, we now have people who can assist in your grant writing. Those of you who are writing books or some other kinds of things that want to be published, we now have folks that can critique and help edit some of that. So we're going to tell you more again very, very soon, as we said. said, the Men Women Movement is definitely on the move. And these two sisters that you just heard tonight are certainly involved and a part of making certain that we can move forward expeditiously, righteously, and in full force, as you can probably tell as we've had this dialogue. So with that said, I just want to remind everyone again, too, that Sister Ajua will be joining us for the upcoming Day of Faith, Day of Imani, that is going to happen here in Philadelphia at the Shanghai City Cultural Center. There's a panel discussion that talks about, you know, how we have such good faith, works, and deeds, but whatever kind of actions is going to make these things manifest for real victory. So that's going to be a part of our Imani Day, meaning our faith today, and it's going to be on January the 1st. We're kicking off this so-called New Year with a real bang. We have Dr. Faruqi Iman, who is a brother here in the tri-state area that's very well known for, you know, really providing wonderful services, information, and so forth from the psychological standpoint. We're going to also have Sister Pam Africa joining us on the panel discussion, and Dr. Randy Short's coming back, okay? And we just learned more about the Tuskegee experience as a result of Dr. Randy Short's research. He is going to be conveying more information about the women, the black women, the African women who were subjects and infected as a part of experiment. So we're going to give you some lot of information about that. In addition to, we're going to talk about next week, leading up to the January 1st, we're going to talk about the so-called father of gynecology. Yeah. And wait till you hear about the kind of things that those people did to our sisters.
That's right.
So we got to bring it to you.
Yeah, we do. And you doing some good work, Sis Filet. I appreciate you. I appreciate both of you. You know, we have to educate. We have to organize. We have to inform. And we have to, most importantly, take action on the information and knowledge that we share and that we build, you know, throughout our lifetime. We have to continue these African legacies. That's what we're going to do. That's what we are doing.
Absolutely. And my sister, before we let you go, tell our family a little bit about, you have a program also that comes on and an organization. So share a little bit about that with us as well, if you will.
Okay, no problem. I have the and Sante, may I say, for the opportunity to share with your audience. Again, I'm Iya Ajua, and have the show, Bohemi Macy Productions Cultural Rebirth Connection Show, where I refer to myself as the culture rebel because I rebel against cultures forced on African people. And so on the show, what I do is I bring a variety of different people for Africans from around the world, Africans from the U.S., and connect them, you know, expose them to the audience, to the listening audience. Last week we had on Brother Kwame Pianki. He's out of Troy, Michigan, and he is an engineer. But we were talking heavily about AFRICOM and CARICOM, and, you know, a lot of African people don't know what those organizations are, which are military-based organizations that function to serve the best interests of the United States military in Africa and in the Caribbean. And so he was sharing a whole lot of information about African people. Like, one of the things I know, one of the lawyers here in Philly has a show called Radio Courtroom, and he talks about Nat Turner. And him talking about Nat Turner, he talked about the Coromantee people. Well, this brother was talking about the Coromantee people, and he referred us to this book about, he said, the Akan, the Africans who were of Akan ancestry. They were the most, what are you going to call it? They were not easy to tame, so to speak. And so this is where Nat Turner comes from. And so we need to start making, I said that to say that that was a connection right there. You know, people are doing, getting their DNA tested and things like that, and that's all good. And we should get those kind of things done. Make sure you use the Genome Project out in Washington, D.C., which is black-owned and operated and was the first one, AfricanAncestry.com. And you know, we need to make those kind of connections in our life. So that's what that show is about. And I'm also the president of Afrocentricity International, Philly chapter. We sponsor guest speakers. We have some upcoming book discussions later in the month of January. We'll be talking about the book Afrocentricity, and we will also be showing the 12 disciples of Nelson Mandela. Now, these are young folks who followed Mandela. You know, they did what they could to promote freedom in South Africa. And they are young. They were young folks, you know. And so everyone hears about Nelson Mandela. It's just like the civil rights movement here. Everyone knows about Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. But you don't hear much about, you know, the additional people that also did what they could and fought in the civil rights movement. So it's kind of on the same lines of that. And so pretty much that's what I'm doing. And I work with some Africans. I've worked with Africans in Paris, in Guadalupe, in Colombia, Brazil. We're having our conference in Brazil in 2014, and in 2015 we're having a conference in Zimbabwe. Last year's conference is right here in Philadelphia. So it's a worldwide thing that we're doing. Afrocentricity International is structured along the lines of UNIA, and so every year the goal is to, you know, establish 10 new chapters a year, and so we're at 13 chapters now. So, and Zimbabwe, you know, we're having a chapter, working on a chapter in Zimbabwe, Canada. We only have two we have two in the U.S., one in Philly and one in Michigan. And so, you know, it's like this Sunday coming up, I'm so amped to be able to talk to Africans in different parts of the world, and we kind of all talking about the same thing, you know, helping in terms of dealing with being African on a daily basis, you know. So my brothers and sisters in Paris and in Belgium, Germany, I said Guadalupe, Ivory Coast, we have one in Ivory Coast, and so, you know, we're building, and we are connecting with people, with Africans worldwide, because we all pretty much have the same challenges in terms of, you know, being African on a daily basis. And, I mean, that's what we want to do, because if it's going to be annihilation, extermination going on, we're not the only ones going out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's going to happen to African people, this whole planet gone. Mm-hmm. You know? So, you know, we have to continue to fight and be who we are, take our positions. Stay in our ground, fight for the legacy, fight to continue the legacies of African people, and also fight to continue make pathways for the Africans that are coming.
That's right.
When is your show on? Yes.
When is your show on?
I forgot to say that. Wednesdays at 4 p.m. The show is on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. And I think I'm trying to get in touch with Dr. Adam, who is an African from Darfur, and he's going to give us an update on what's happening in Darfur. So we've started a petition.
Wonderful.
Matter of fact, we have a petition to support our family in Darfur. Keep them on the radar. Keep them on the map. We want to keep them in everyone's eyes what's happening to the Haitians, Haitians
mm-hmm.
in the Dominican
mm-hmm.
Republic who have lost their citizenship.
That's right.
Just because they're
That's
Haitian,
right.
You know, I mean, this is crazy stuff. So, you know, we want to keep that. We want to keep that in the public eye, and you know, so wherever we can help African people, that's what we're doing. We're about walking our talk, and you know, I'm all talked out. I'm tired of talking. What kind of action can we do? And that's what
that's
I'm
right.
involved with. That's why I'm involved with the Sister Filet. That's why I had to call in, sis, and give you shouts, because you all are taking action. And you all are the kind of women, African women, that I want to be associated with. African women taking action to help African people. That's what I'm about. And so I want to link up with my sisters around the world and in the U.S. who are doing the same thing, because we have to fight back. We are warriors, and we are lions, and we have to tell our own stories. We remain being hunted, and that has to stop. So Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio is my show. And I usually post it on my page.
Right.
So since I will send you a friend request, and then that way my name is E.I. Adra, and that way I'll get to share with you the link to the show.
Wonderful.
Yes, I
absolutely.
Appreciate that.
And again, remember, family, that our programs, you are able to hear them at any time because once they're aired, it goes to the archives. And so, you know, you can hear it at your convenience. And that's the one thing I really do like about being able to be on this kind of a network. But also we want to let you all know that you might have heard me mentioning it before. I did get the opportunity to talk to Mumia Abu-Jamal on December 9th. And so with that said, by April, we will have ready for you all the Mumia Abu-Jamal School of Journalism. So for those of you who like communications, who like to write or whatever, we need our own reporters now nationwide.
Yes,
we can't depend on the Association of Black Journalists. Because let me tell you, those people, it's great. But the bottom line is we're putting together our own networks. It's going to be both in written form and in electronic form. You name it, we're going to have it. The brother in Detroit, who was on our program, he has the African News Wire, I think it's called. We're going to connect with him. So the bottom line is we're going to really now make certain that these things are able to happen, that the dots are, in fact, connected. And, again, with Mumia doing a course for us by way of, you know, correspondence, oh, my God.
You definitely have to send me that information when you get it up and running so I can share with my network, because that is definitely an opportunity that anyone that is aspiring to be a journalist needs to not pass that up. That just definitely
needs
to be utilized.
That's going to allow us to all the various talk shows and other kind of communications apparatuses. We're going to be able to connect them now really nationally and internationally, and, you know, particularly, and, you know, our focal points, of course, is those that are really about justice and liberation and providing holistic information. So now there's going to be a network put in place that will allow us to do that 24/7.
I appreciate that. I love it. That's what we need. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, we do.
All right,
and, you know, I just want to also share with the audience, if I can, that I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, and I'm also on livinginblack.name.com. You can go there. And if you friend me on that network, you can also access my shows if you're not on Blog Talk Radio.
That's what we're talking about. And again, we want to remind everyone that we'll be doing special editions pretty much every day this week, kicking off tomorrow with it being the first day of Kwanzaa, Umoja. We want to really talk more about the principles. We know that some, you know, aren't necessarily in tune to Kwanzaa, and that's okay, because our perspective here at New Day is let's deal with the principles of what's been presented. So tomorrow is Umoja. We kick it off tonight kind of in a pre-way of showing you all or helping all of you to see how we're talking with Sister Cynthia, we're talking with Sister Ajua, meaning unity, meaning we all have different things that we're doing, but the fact is we're showing you, and you'll see more examples of how we're going to bring these pieces together now, because that's what we have to do, and we're going to start with our sisters. And again, that's the mission that I've been given. So, you know, I'm just saying it's not the only thing that we're going to be doing, but for this particular point in time, we're going to make sure that sisters, our women and girls, are able to be connected to the different groups and organizations all over the country, all over the world, that are focusing on us as a people for power, prosperity, and peace. Okay, so with that said, you will begin to really see in action, as the sister just said, Sister Adjua said earlier, that we've got to now, and Sister Cynthia, we've got to now take some real, not that we haven't before, but some real holistic action is now in the midst, and you're getting ready to see it. So you've heard about two different organizations, actually four, because each one of them represent more than two organizations or two operations, but that's just to show you how diverse we are And it also goes to show you how now we're going to make it a point and an effort, and the effort is not going to be one that's so tedious or burdensome. It's going to be one with love, intention, and definitely with success. And we're talking about supporting one another, and that's what you're going to see us now do. It's not just a conversation. So with that said, wow, we on, you know, as I said, we on the move.
That's right. Can I make one more announcement about the clinical work that I've been doing in Newark?
Surely, surely.
All right. I started a program called Clinicians Helping to Heal Newark after all of the violence that had been experienced within Newark and in the out in the surrounding areas. And I really, really want to reach out outside of it. I want to hit Detroit. I want to hit Philly. Okay, and network with everybody so we can get out there. Because let me tell you, the way I feel is that only we can treat our people. All right, we have to know how to get into session, and then we open the wounds and then we close the wounds so that we can go back in our areas and live. All right, and that's something that's not being done. So we also need to address the multi-generational issues that we're dealing with, the things that cause the helplessness and the lack of motivation, and that's what I'm into right now. So, you know, there's ways for this to go all, to go everywhere. This can be big.
All right, all right.
Well, we definitely, and that's what we're talking about, bringing these various skills and other kinds of creativity, bringing it now together, becoming more whole. And, hey, we're going to do it. We are doing it. But now it's going to be done to even a greater extent, and the manifestation and, again, the victories will definitely be seen and, I think, appreciated, because it's going to be sisters, women, making certain that it happens. And you got to admit, family, that's a little different, only in that to be able to kind of really be in the forefront and maintain that kind of position from that real mother, from that real original woman kind of posture. Again, we're not talking about feminism. So, again, you know, for those of you who don't know or haven't heard yet, that's not our spiel. That's not what we're dealing with here. We are about all of our people, and everything that we do is connected to all of our people, our men, our women, our children. Always know, you know, never try to confuse what we're talking about with some other, you know, with some stuff. That's not it. So just for the record, once again, we represent the original woman. All right? So whether you call it the African woman, whether you call it the Aboriginal woman, whether you call it the Ma'atit, the Kemetic, whatever, just know that it is the main original first one. That's what we're talking about.
That's right.
Before we close out, I need to add this one thing, and we're going to talk more about this week also. And we talked about it in the past because, once again, we had these vultures, these parasites attempting to misguide and misrepresent the Million Woman March. This guy, George Tillman, has reared his head again. And wait till we tell you about his new antic, how he is attempting now to bring that documentary to Philly.
Hello.
And I'm telling you, it's such a slick move that I got to almost give it to him and say, wow, you know, just think if he was really working on our behalf and on our side, we would really have something, because this man is real slick. And again, I'm going to tell you all more about that tomorrow night, but rest assured, he will be exposed and he will be, you know, dealt with accordingly, because we truly believe that our ancestors are going to start moving in a way that we have not seen lately, because we're, you know, standing up and making certain that we function in a way that is going to represent what needs to be represented. So we'll tell you more about that tomorrow. But then lastly, we're connected to that. There's a group in California. You heard us talk about them before, too, they have changed the name from the Million Woman March for Endometriosis to now the Million Women. They only changed the E as if that was, you know, sufficing and would make us happy or something. So, so now we are getting ready to put them on notice and possibly file suit against them. But, again, it just, you know, I'm happy to see that these attacks are still there because that tells us that we are still a threat.
That's right.
We are still a threat. So it's all good.
Right.
Wow.
But, you know, they think they're so slick with removing our men and just taking them into the prisons and things like that. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But we are the mothers of the universe.
That's
all right.
Right.
And we're going to hold it down for our brothers that they're taking away from us.
That's right. We're going to hold our families up.
That's right.
That is what
again,
we
like you said, not feminism.
Mm-hmm.
We are the
again,
mothers of the earth.
Definitely. Right. Definitely not. Definitely not this. Not I. No. We have to do more than that. We definitely, cause, I mean, if you know the story of feminism, the way that African women were treated, and case in point, Ida B. Wells, you know, they tried to talk with her and, like she was, secondary, and here it was, this woman was a business owner, strapped, family, and an editor, and also an author. She is the first one to have written, she wrote the Red Record. She's the first one to document lynching in America,
right.
of African, and here it is. They want to treat her like she's insignificant, and tell her invite her to a march, and then tell her, oh well, you can bring up the rear, you can walk in the back, Ida B. Wells was like, she stood to the side, and when they got up to the front, she went right up to the front and walked and marched.
That's right,
So if we just know the story of how African women were treated as, and even now as second-class citizens, we wouldn't even associate with that term feminism, It's
That's
not
right.
our story. It never has been our story. We've always worked side by side, behind, in front, on top, on the bottom of our men, and
That's
with
right.
our families.
That's right.
In some instances, forced to,
Right.
And, but we've
That's
always
right.
existed as leaders, too, We've always been warriors. We've been leaders. This is not something that's new to us. And so this is the kind of legacies that we need to teach our daughters so that they don't become fodder for these prison systems. And these prison systems have to go. They have to find another way to make their money.
Our
debt is paid in full. As Maya Angelou said in that poem that starts off the Black Candle, I love that poem. And she said, you owe no debt. It's paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
Debt has been paid in full. We were never in debt in the beginning. Just today
right.
I started off my day watching the history of racism. It's three parts to it. And I recommend that these are the kind of things you do, all year long, but especially now during Kwanzaa, so that I think that when we know that the story of the history of racism starts out in Britain, they telling you. And we all know we still live in a colony of Britain. We're all aware of that. A lot of us are aware of that, but some of us are not aware of that, that we remain a colony of Britain. We live in a colony of Britain. When we pay our taxes go to Britain, go to London. Lloyd's of London is the biggest insurer in this country. They insure everything. So even though you might be paying your insurance to Allstate got to break off Lloyd's of London. You know what I mean? So all of these insurance companies and everything, they're owned by Lloyd's of London. So we have to know our story. And I think that knowing our story is what helps us to take our positions, to take our stands, to defend our families, to stand by our men, and move forward and bring forth
our future generations, you know? And this is the kind of things that we have to do. So our fight is nonstop. Like, we don't, like, it's 24/7. We don't take holidays. You know, we party and we commingle with one another and everything. But it's always all for the African family and all for our continuing existence on this planet. That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my sisters, I want to thank both of you again, and we're going to continue this dialogue and some other dialogues tomorrow and throughout the rest of this so-called 2013. And what we're going to do is get our closing comments from both of you, and then we're going to hear our final words for tonight. It's going to come from Stephen Biko. And again, before we do that, we want to remind you all, Sister just mentioned something that we're going to talk more about later on this week as well, and that is what we call the new Jamaica Crow. You know, that is the mass incarceration.
I thought
we come up with our own definition terminology on
things.
And so with the new Jamaica Crow, we know that our sisters, the mass incarceration of our sisters, and it's not something that most are talking about. When they talk about the new Jim Crow, for the most part, they're referring to the mass incarceration of our brothers, and, of course, we should talk about that. But unfortunately, what gets caught up in that whole dialogue is we miss out, or we don't even discuss, or we don't even look at what's happening with our women, our sisters. And so we've got to do that now. So, again, our focal point is going to be the new Jamaica Crow.
I love it. Well, in the light of what you was, you know, was talking about earlier with the Ngugo Saba, the seven principles, one of the things
yes.
that I always do, and I've already started, is that those of us with smartphones, these are things you can, this is something that you can do to stay in African time. You can be in Kemetic time. You can be in Akan time, which is African time. You can be in Ethiopian time. It's up to you. So one of the things you can do is go to your phone settings. Tomorrow is Umoja, and tomorrow is Friday. So you check, you click on your recurring. So every Friday, you put Umoja Unity. You put the definition for Umoja Unity. You go, you set the time in your smartphone. So my phone, every day of this year, at 7:45, my phone remind me of what principle it was for the day and give me the definition in case I forgot it, you know, or in case
wow.
I wanted to look at it and sort it and think about it. But I'm saying that this is something that you can do. So you start with tomorrow, Friday is Umoja. So every Friday, your phone can remind you that it's Umoja. Every Saturday, your phone can remind you that it's Kuriji Chagaliya. Every Sunday, Ujima. Every Monday, Ujamaa. Every Tuesday, Nia, and then every Wednesday, Kaumba, and every Thursday, Iman. You know, this is something that you can do to keep your head, stay focused, and stay in practice of the principles. Now, every day you're not going to make it. We forgive you. We forgive ourselves because we try every day, but we don't make it. But the point is to put forth that effort, you know, put forth that effort every day to practice that principle. And, you know, we comprehend we're dealing with a whole lot, and that's every day, you know. Every day we're dealing with, especially African women, every day we're dealing with a whole lot. So, you know, the thing is to strive for it, and this is one of the things that you could do. And I know I just recently posted, I said, you know, these smartphones, when it comes to African time, these smartphones are
yep.
dumb.
All right.
I just want to close out with that, everybody. You could practice the principle every day or remind yourself to practice that principle every day. Set those smartphones in African time.
All right. All right. Sister Cynthia, your closing comments for tonight.
Okay.
You know, we're going to deliver this petition sometime, I guess maybe within the next 3 weeks or so. And I would like to have, I'm asking and requesting that as many people as possible go with us, all right, to the headquarters in New York City. And we shall deliver it, and we shall teach them or show them who we are as people of African descent. No, we stick together. Now, with all of the organizations that are out there, imagine if, yes, each one works on their own individual things, but when something is going on, we all come together, all right? And when we go after that less than 1% that's out there, no, I'm not going into the Wall Street, that they see that, yes, we are going to stick together no matter what you do or what you say, whatever rules and laws that you make behind doors, whatever handshakes you make will not matter to us because we are the citizens. We are in charge, all right? So we as women of African descent, we have to practice every day some self-love, all right? Show yourself that you feel good about yourself. Try to get out of your mind all of the past things that have been said, the innuendo, the things written that are negative. Show yourself self-love so that you can truly take in who you are.
All right. That's right. I hear that.
All right, my sisters. Well, again, I thank you all for sharing tonight and making this program another powerful segment. And we certainly are looking forward to connecting with you both and doing this work. And, hey, happy Umoja. I'm going to give you an early heads up.
Right. That's right. Bari Ghani, Umoja is the principle in unity. And I wouldn't want to have it any other way than, you know, working and in unity and in a collective sense with two powerful sisters like you. I appreciate you. I love you. And, you know, let's do our work. Let's do our
That's
work.
Right.
Warrior Kings, let's do our work.
I agree.
All right. Well, good thanks, my sister and family. We thank all of you for tuning in to this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And we will be back tomorrow, same time, with some more powerful information for motivation and liberation. Until then, this is Ipriti Chi, and, of course, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. And always remember, of course, there can be no real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly Ma'at. We're going to close out tonight with none other than Stephen Biko. Tomorrow we're going to talk more about the new black consciousness movement that is going to come through the North American region very, very soon, the spirit of Stephen Biko. Tomorrow we're going to also tell you about the MWM Sister Saints. And Sister Ajua mentioned one of them, and that is Mother Ida B. Wells. That's right. Now the Men Women Movement is going to unveil some of what we've been working on these past years, including making certain that some of our sister ancestors, we're raising them up to be saints. And that means we're going to teach about them. We're going to observe their birthday or Earth Day and their day of transition, of becoming an ancestor, and most importantly, perhaps, the continuation of their work. I want to tell you about that more tomorrow. But for right now, we want to share with you one of our, what we call, Black Shining Princes from the African location, but connected truly to us, because he talked about black consciousness. And we're going to give you more information on that, too. But for right now, for those who are not familiar with this brother, now is the time that you are. And we're talking about Stephen Biko.
In the so-called guarantee for minority rights, because guarantee of minority rights implies the recognition of questions of the community on a race basis. We believe that in our country there shall be no minority, there shall be no majority, there shall be just the people. And those people who have the same status before the law, and they will have the same political rights before the law. So in essence, people are completely non-racial, non-racial. There is no spirit here to give them a report, to give them to feelings or put them in short. It is the duty of the vanguard political. movement which brings about change to educate people's outlook. I mean, certainly the blacks have never lived in a socialist economic system, but they need to learn to live in one. And the certainly that they have always lived in a racially developed society, but they have learned to live in a member society. They have learned to learn, and all this must be brought to them and explained to the people rather than that movement which is leading the revolution.
That was a rare interview with Stephen Biko, and of course, there's not a lot of interviews that you can find with him, but we wanted to share some of that with you to just kind of want you to hear his voice, really. There's so much more, and even with that, his development really began to escalate, and once his development escalated, of course, he became to a greater threat. And what I mean by that is he began to talk more about black consciousness. He began to talk more about what black people needed to do, the way we needed to think. And we're talking about really specifically, and again, we're going to talk more about that later on this week, but similar to Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, it is said that Dr. Martin Luther King began to grow and develop and become more leaning more towards some other things. And, of course, this became a bigger problem. As long as he kind of stayed in the civil rights mainstream flow of things, you know, they didn't like it, but hey. But once he began to kind of become a little what some felt revolutionary, he became more of a major concern and problem. Well, something similar with Stephen Biko. And so, again, we want to, again, connect these dots because you're going to hear more about Stephen Biko in terms of we talk about South Africa now a lot, but we want to show you and share with you some of the realities of what has happened since 1997 when Stephen Biko was murdered brutally and what's going on presently today. With that said, we're going to talk more about Sister Winnie Mandela also, because in the very near future, we have a big surprise coming for you. Can't tell you about it just yet, but it's going to be pretty interesting. But nonetheless, we want to thank all of you again for tuning in, and certainly we look forward to you joining us tomorrow as we continue our New Day Resurrection programming. And until then, we're out. One more thing we want to remind you. If, in fact, you have some information or you wish to communicate with us, you certainly can do so. And you can do that by contacting us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Until next time, which we hope will be tomorrow evening, we bid you again in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep as we move forward for power, prosperity, and peace, what we call from the name of the movement, P to the third power. We use formulas now to begin to attack or respond to the enemy. That's right. We're talking about dealing with this thing mathematically, scientifically, and in every other kind of way, all from an African perspective. Till next time, peace out. Much love. All right, my sisters, talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
My
Adhosa.
My Adhosa.